today. We're going to go to two or three different places. And I need you all to help me with me today. I need you all to help me out today. Okay? There's so many of you here on a constant basis, on a regular basis, preach, help ministry, help the gospel here by preaching, helping preach that message. How many knows that the scripture says we are written epistles, read of all men. And that means our life is really the word, should be the word, exemplified every day in our life. How many realize that today? Can I say to you, some of the only Bible people will ever read is what's in your life. If you want people to believe the word of God, then let the word of God be real in you. Because if you say one thing and do another, it doesn't give scripture validity in your life. People wonder, what do I believe? So it's important that we live the word and that we speak the word and that we exemplify the word. That's a powerful thing. So today you guys are preaching the word by the life that you live, and you're preaching the word many times here on Sunday mornings, sharing testimonies, and I use you a lot, and I talk about you guys when you're not even knowing I'm talking about you, in a good way, okay? In a good way. And I'm using what God has done in your life to give hope to other people, because your life that God has brought you from does give hope to people who need hope today. The life you live gives hope to people around you today. Because we do serve a God that is all about hope, and He's about restoration. He's a God about rebuilding and putting people's lives back together. We've been talking about dreams for a while. And if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to two or three significant places. I think we'll start in the book of Ezekiel. So find that in Scripture, and I'd like for you to go to Ezekiel 37, okay? Go there with me. We got so many mics, we don't know what to do with them. I don't know if this thing's working or not. I like this Garth Brooks microphone. Not that I'm trying to be Garth Brooks, I'm nowhere. But what it does, it gives me freedom to use my hands. Because I'm a hands person. Are you a hands person? You talk with your hands? Well, I talk with my hands. And then I get to use my towel that Brother Henry and Sister Becky gave me that says pastor on it. I appreciate that so very much. But I'd like for you to turn in the scripture with me to Ezekiel 37. You're there, say amen. And I'd like to share a scripture today. And we've been talking about dreams, ministering and sharing the word about dreams today. And God is all about us dreaming. And Becky, you have that image, my friend. Ezekiel 37. What chapter did I say? All right, three people know that. What chapter? You see, I'm a teacher by trade. You guys are going to have to straighten up, okay? Ezekiel chapter 37. We could read this whole chapter. There's the part that I'm going to be sharing with you today. There's really, you know, several scriptures. There's 28 scriptures in this chapter, but we're going to concentrate mostly on 14 of them. We're going to talk about some things and prayerfully, and I know that, and I believe that God has a powerful word for you today. Because we have been talking about, I've been texting people about wind. There is a wind blowing. How many knows that? wind is significant. In scriptures, it's significant. It has a powerful part to play in scripture. It has a powerful part to play in prophecy. So this chapter 37 is partly prophetic. It is prophetic. And so you see, Ezekiel was a man of God, a prophet of God, who God called during hard times and severe hopelessness in the nation of Israel, because this was written toward the nation of Israel, the book of Ezekiel. It was written toward God's people because they were led away captive by a foreign nation, the nation of Babylon. And by the way, any reference that you see of Babylon in Scripture, it has to do with sin. So because of the transgressions of God's people, God allowed their enemies to lead them away captive. There's a lot of story there that we really don't have time or space to go into. But the children of Israel were in the land of Babylon. And this book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, was written to a nation that had lost their hope, and the Bible compared them to a people who had died, and a vast valley full of dry bones. That this was talking about the nation of Israel, the hopelessness of this nation that was called Israel. And God was sending a message of hope and restoration to a people who had lost their way and lost their hope. Their dreams had died somewhere and been buried in a vast valley somewhere. But God didn't see a valley full of dry bones. God saw a mighty army. God saw an army of visionaries. He saw an army of dreamers. He saw an army that would do great exploits. He saw a people that was mighty, that God had breathed upon, and that God had ordained and purposed to walk in His plan. Do you know today that you have purpose and plan of God in your life? That you're not an accident, you're not somebody that was just put here or just happened to be here or some mistake. I hear people say that. Well, I was my parents' mistake. God doesn't make mistakes, my friend. Oh, I'm glad somebody knows what I'm talking about. Don't you ever call yourself a mistake. Amen. You have purpose and plan. And God, you have destiny. Your life may be hidden in a valley, buried in a valley somewhere, and a vast grave of hopelessness and despair, but yet you have the purpose and plan of God in your life. You have powerful destiny. So today, you know, such a powerful word last week about resurrection. And sometimes when Easter gets through, then we start thinking about, well, what are the things that we need to think about after Easter? We sort of put messages and lessons and teachings and seasonal arrangement. And we say, well, you know, Christmas time, let's preach about the manger. You know, Easter time, let's preach about the tomb and the cross and so forth and so on. But today, I want you to know that there is resurrection power available in this room. Not just for one season a year, but every day of your life. Listen, God is about raising dead dreams and putting life back into your hopelessness. Amen. That's the message that we need to convey to a lost world, a hopeless world. Most people know that they're lost and they need Jesus. Most people know that their life is in trouble and ruined. And our responsibility or our purpose or our passion should be about giving hope to people every day, reminding them if they failed, they can get back up. If they have buried dreams or they have a life that's been messed up and torn about by so many problems, either a death of a loved one, there are people today that are in a valley of death because of a death they've gone through. There are people today that's gone through divorce
and in a valley of despair and hopelessness because of a broken relationship. There are people today that are that canvass this nation and canvass the world that are living in a valley of dry bones. Listen, who are there because of family problems so great and so devastating that it's hurled them down, it's spiraled them down to a grave full of hopelessness today. But God is about telling you today, He's about raising your dreams up. 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 Shall not die, but live and declare on your feet. Declare the works of the Lord. Amen. You are not the tail, you're the head. You're not the bottom, but you were made for the top. Hallelujah. I'm about to get happy. You hear me, Henry? I'm about to get happy. I got a reason to be happy. I was once dead, but now I'm alive. I was once lost, but now I'm found. I don't celebrate a God in a tomb. I don't take flowers to a tomb to celebrate some past entity. I don't, listen, go to a place to memorialize something that's dead or have already died. But today, my hope is alive. My Savior is alive. My King is alive. Did you hear that, big guy? I said He's alive. Guess what? If He's alive, that makes His people alive. You're not dead. You're not dead. You're alive with the hope of Christ living in your soul. Oh, Jesus, I didn't know it was going to go this way. So let me say this. Before some of you think, that's the craziest guy I ever did see. You ain't seen anything yet. No grave could hold him. Death could not keep him down. On the third day, he got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. John 14:9, and he said, because I live, you shall live. Amen. I know that people go through things. They go through things. Don't allow past failures to bury your dreams. We've all failed. Some of us have failed more classes than others. But we've all failed. We've all failed. God didn't mean for our failures to define us or limit us. We are failed. We have failed. Listen, today, there are people today buried their dreams under a mountain of failure. And they say, what's the use? That was this nation of Israel, as the bones of this nation was scattered across the landscape. Listen, the prophet, when he came and God brought him and showed him this valley of vast bones, this vast valley of many bones. You know, the scripture says that the hand of the Lord came upon me, Ezekiel said. The hand of the Lord came upon me. Now you read that and think that it's just something real casual, like the Lord just touched him. No, but the hand of the Lord was upon him. The hand of the Lord pressed him. The hand of the Lord pressed him. Today, the hand of the Lord has pressed me. The Lord's hand has pressed upon me. The hand of the Lord is upon Ezekiel. And the Lord brought him out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley. Some of you today are in a valley, but God didn't make a valley for you to live in. Listen, God didn't make that valley. I like what Brother Sal said. Sal just said, God didn't mean for us to be miserable. How can you convince people who need hope that there is hope and your lively hope if your life is miserable? If you exemplify that life is too hard for the God that you serve. Life is hard, but God is good. Amen. I said life is hard, but God is good. In the midst of a valley, David said in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley, I'm glad that I didn't come to the valley to live or to camp or to make residence. I'm walking through the valley. I'm walking through the valley today. Yes, this may come, that may come, this may come up, or that may be happening, but I'm still walking. I'm still walking today. Yea, though I walk through the valley. You notice that? He said through the valley. I didn't come to the valley to live. I'm just walking through it. No. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. His rod and his staff is with me. Amen. Do you know the Lord is with you? Amen. He's with you. And David, or Ezekiel, saw this huge valley, this vast valley full of bones. And he set me down in the midst of this valley full of bones. Guess what? He set this ministry in the valley of a lot of bones. Amen? He set us down peering into the valley. This physical location of this is sort of like on a little hill. We're sort of looking down into a valley. Prince's Flat, they used to call it decades and decades ago before it was Norton. Did you know that? And so, listen, we're looking down into a valley of people who have hopelessness, people who have grief, people who are going through pain, people who are struggling just to survive in their own life. But the Lord had a reason for Ezekiel to be there. God's got a reason for us to be here. Amen? Yes, God's got a reason for us to be here. Don't allow your dreams, your past failure from your dreams, to define who you are. Today, it's time to speak to these dreams and tell them to get up from the dirt, from the decay, from the hopelessness that they're in. And today, maybe you got it all figured out. Maybe you have had your dreams raised. And I appreciate people. I appreciate Sister Becky Whited. I appreciate Becky Whited being so honest and transparent. That powerful testimony she gave. Come up here, Miss Becky. Oh, I'll be kind to you. I'm not going to be mean. But how powerful that was. When I see this valley of dry bones, I see you all. That's who you were. Many of you have been raised to life. Many of your dreams were dead and gone to sleep. Or listen, no longer dreaming your dream. Life had you pressed down. Things had you pushed down. Hopelessness, listen, darkened your doorstep every day. No joy in your heart could be found. Listen, faith was there because you fed your fears, and faith began to die. We can all be there, friend. We can all be there. Don't set yourself above something, friend. If you do, you're getting ready to fall. Amen. But we've been there. So, come up here, my friend. Dakota, I want you to get the shofar, the Lord says. I want you to go get that shofar. Well, something began to happen in this valley. Something's beginning to happen in this valley. What's beginning to happen is not conjured up by the minds of men. What's beginning to happen was dreamed in the Father's heart before it's becoming a reality to a lot of people. When I see people that have been raised, where's Miss Tiffany? When I see people that would get up and hang their life out, that alcohol had me bound. I was living in a valley of hopelessness because my everyday life was like living for a drink or living for a high. But now this young lady has switched that high to another high. Amen. Stay right there. So see, when I see this valley, I see a bunch of bones. I see dreams that have died. I see people without hope. I see people without life. I see people who were meant to dream. People who were meant to live the purpose and destiny of God. When I look at married couples and how God raises people from the dead, I'm looking what the Lord can do. I'm looking at what the Lord can do. I know both of you can't come. But when I look at people who say, God, I'm willing to take the risk. I'm willing for you to breathe upon my life. I'm willing for you because I'm investing my faith in you. And I know if I do, I'll not come away disappointed. So I see a valley of dry bones here. You see, we could all gather around this. We could all gather around this because that's where we were. That's where we were. But God didn't mean for you to stay there. His purpose was to remind the children of Israel that you can live again. You can dream again. You can hope again. You can explore again. You can walk again. You can run again. You can fly again. Today, I'm getting somewhere with this. But today, I had a dream, and I've shared this dream before, but sometimes you know when you share things, you don't know if really people get that. But God's been reminding me with this dream I had. I had a dream one night. I was in a strange place. I was in a room full of coffins. I was in a room full of coffins. Coffins mean there are dead people there or going to be there. So I was in this room full of coffins. And laying in these coffins were people who were dead, who I assumed were dead. I mean, I don't know too many people that hang out and sleep in a coffin. But as I looked around the room and I walked around the room, every time I'd come close to a coffin, one of those dead people in that coffin would raise right up. Raise right up. When I come close to that person in that coffin, they'd raise right up. I'd reach out my hand like that. I'd reach out my hand just like that. And they'd reach out their hand just like that. I'd give them a high five and they got right up out of that coffin. They walked right out of that coffin. What God is telling me, that God has called us to raise the dead to life. God has called us to raise the dead to life. To give hope to the hopeless. To give hope to the hopeless. Life to the lifeless. God didn't call you to look pretty. He didn't call you to get on this stage to look pretty. He didn't call you to walk outside these four walls and to walk in the lives of people looking pretty. Oh, because somebody may look at us and they think, you guys don't got it together. You don't have it together. They may look at this crazy old pastor like, you don't have it together, Pastor R. You know, you need to be more dignified. You need to be more tame. You need to be more theologically correct. You need to be more politically correct, or whatever the course may be. But God didn't call me to do that. God called me to wake up dead people, to raise dead people to life. God called you to raise dead people. To prophesy to a valley full of bones and say, you shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Come here. I ain't kicked on you a long time. I've heard this request from this prayer from this wife right here, this companion. I heard this request, even teaching at alternative ed counseling out there after her retirement. And Connie would meet me in the hallway and say, please pray for Jody. Jody didn't know that she was requesting prayer for him. Pray for him. A lot of people been praying for Jody. He just didn't know it. He had grandmothers and grandpas praying for him. He didn't know about it. But he had a wife that believed that he had destiny and purpose. And she began to prophesy over her husband that he shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. She began to pray. She began to believe. She began to expect. And even though in a valley of sometimes hopelessness and fear, would this ever happen? She kept believing. And she kept speaking that over his life. Then finally, Jody, we met him in his valley in a place, a little remote place over in southeast Kentucky at a family reunion. And his aunt, people began to speak in his life, began to invite him. His wife began to invite him. She came first and said, you need to come. You need to come to Lost Creek. You need to come. You need to come. So he began to come. But she kept prophesying. The breath of God kept breathing upon his life. She began to speak the word over his life. I want my husband saved. I want him raised. I want him to worship with me. I want our kids. I want our family to worship together. You see, she kept speaking that word. And finally, one day, up here at this property, oh, Jesus, I'm trying to get there. Please be patient with me, Lord. There's so much stuff going on in my mind right now. I was up here at the deck overlooking the baptistry. Jody was with me that day. You remember that, Jody? You began to talk about the Lord. You said, I just want to have it all together. I want to be right. I don't want to come to Jesus. I don't want to give my life to the Lord and just go back on him. I want to be real. I want my life to be real. I want me really to have the goods. And I'm just trying to figure this out. And I said, Jody, you'll never figure it out. You give your life to Jesus and trust him, then he'll put your life together. He'll give you revelation. You see, there's a reason God told me to take him up there, because I wanted him to look into a liquid grave, that little piece down the road he was going to be raised from. Because I said, Jody, you see that water down there? That's where we baptize. I said, I believe that one day I'm going to be blessed to take you down to that water and be baptized. His eyes got big. His eyes got big. He began to choke up. Listen, begin to tear up. But what happened is he began to realize where hope was really alive. And listen, it was a forward motion from that day, because he purposed to seek the Lord. And he came and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. Listen, he's a work in progress, just like you are a work in progress. But he was once dead, but now he's alive. Amen. Dead dreams can get up. Life can come to valleys full of dry bones. I'll let you decide. You can come up here or go down there. Either way you want to do it. Because God's getting ready to wind this down right here. This valley was full of hopelessness, dead dreams. And God says, I'm going to do, Ezekiel, two things, my people. There's going to be a twofold resurrection here. I'm going to politically, geographically, raise them up, bring them back from their captivity, from the graves that held them, and I'm going to put them back into the land that I purposed for them. Now, under Cyrus, partially that happened. But futuristically speaking, prophetically, all of that is still to be unfolded, because before Jesus comes back to reign and rule on the earth, he's going to gather all of his people again from the four corners of the earth, and he's going to bring them back, and he's going to rule as a sovereign king over his people. Amen. That's one resurrection. And then there was a spiritual resurrection, that God was going to bring them from their graves and he was going to put their lives back together. He was going to restore his fellowship with them and put them back into temples of praise where they could glorify and exalt his great and mighty name. So today, that speaks to us as the church, as anybody, an individual today. God speaks to us that way. I'm willing to bring you up out of your graves. I'm willing to put you into the place that I have purposed for you to walk in. I'm willing and I'm able to breathe upon you, bring your life back together, and give you purpose and give you hope. Put your family back together. Put your life back together that's been crazy, messed up with drugs and alcohol. Crazy, messed up with perversions and sexual perversions. I'm able to set you free, bring you up out of your grave, and put my purpose and my plan in your life. God says he wants to do that today. You see, today, we can be a person here today that feels like your life has hopelessly failed God. Hopelessly failed God. Hopelessly failed God. We can feel like that our life is so failure, so messed up, that what can God purposefully use my life for? I talk to people all the time that talk that way. Why would God want me? My life is so messed up. I failed him. Why would he want me again? Do you not know and think that the sovereign Lord today knows that you fail and mess up? He knows that. You're prone to do that because we live in a very temporal dwelling place. It's a tabernacle of flesh. But God is greater than the power that flesh has over you. So today, Matthew 26, the person that comes to my mind, when I think of Peter, and I'm not going to let you all stand up here the whole time. I know it's getting a little bit tiring. But Peter, you know, we talk about Peter. We talk about what a great man. And Jesus called him the rock. Changed his name from little stone to the rock. And what a powerful influence that Christ had on his life. But What a man that was driven sometimes by his passions, but he messed up. He was always with Jesus. He was one of the closest associates to Jesus. Wherever you found Jesus, you found Peter. They had a very close camaraderie. They were friends along with James and John and the other followers of Jesus. I'm not just picking on Peter. But Peter was this edgy disciple, an edgy follower. And always didn't think before he talked or acted. Sometimes his temper got the best of him. Sometimes he got angry and upset. He would tell Jesus one time that he would never leave him. He'd never forsake him. He would tell Jesus, when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, Peter would say, I will never do that, Lord. I'll never do that. And moments later, Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, before the morning breaks, before the cock crows three times, you're going to mess up and you're going to deny me. Peter was upset. Listen, at the moment when they took Jesus away in the garden, it was Peter that rose up in defense of Jesus and grabbed a sword and slashed off the ear of one of the temple guards. It was Peter that did that, brazen and full of passion. But Peter failed God. He failed the Lord. Has anybody in here really failed the Lord before? There's three or four people that failed the Lord. The rest of you, I want to go home with you. I want you to tell me how you have not failed the Lord all these years. We've all failed. We've all sinned. We've all come short. Let's just get that settled right now. We've all messed up. And that evening, by the fires, and when Jesus was already taken captive, he denied Jesus. He denied Jesus more than one time. And he remembered that. And finally, in the wee hours of the morning, the cock crew. And he remembered his failure. He remembered how he had disappointed the Lord. How he had denied the Son of God. He remembered how miserably he fell that moment. And the Bible said in Matthew 26 that he went out and he wept bitterly. He agonized before God. He agonized before God. He wept. He wept. He wept till he couldn't cry anymore. He was broken and hopeless and saying, there's no way back for me. Jesus will never receive me back. And Jesus, you know the story, died on the cross. And he died on the cross. Very few people were around the cross where Jesus died. Do you know who one of them wasn't? Peter. Think about that. And the Bible says that Peter was so broken because of his failure. He was in this valley of disappointment, in this valley of dry brokenness and dry bones, that he said, there's no way back. But Jesus laid in the heart of the earth 3 days. And 3 nights. You know that. Jesus was crucified. Jesus was crucified. Do you know today, there are people who try to crucify your dreams. There are people who try to put your dreams to death. There are people that try to hang your dreams out on a tree somewhere. Crucify your hope. Crucify your hope. But Jesus told his disciples, on the third day, the temple may be torn down, but on the third day, it's going to raise up again. It's going to raise up again on the third day. And the Bible said, on the third day, he got up. Our hope got up. Our second Adam got up. Death could not hold him. Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. He got up with power and demonstration. Something awakened that earth that morning. Something awakened and breathed upon the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the darkness of that tomb early that morning, listen, there was something that penetrated that tomb. It was the power of the living God. And in that darkness, the Bible said, he awakened the sun to glory. He awakened that sun to glory. That third appointed morning, Jesus got up. The stone was rolled away. And because he got up, you and I can get up the same way. Amen. Really, I'm trying to find my phone, and I'm trying to see what time it is. And the Lord said, not worry about it. And I still can't find it, so I don't know. Some of you all here, I know. I hope you're getting this. Hold your foot up. I'm not going to break it. I hope you're getting that from the bottom of that to the top of this. Because your dreams can get up. Peter's dreams were crushed the moment he denied the Son of God and he saw the Son of God die on the cross. But on the third day he got up, and many of them didn't know that, by the way. Jesus only revealed himself by the angel. God had to send a messenger, an angel messenger. And when Mary went to the tomb, he revealed himself to her and told him, he's no longer here, he's risen. He's no longer here. He's risen. Listen, live people don't play with dead things. Oh, man. People who's alive don't play with dead things. Don't remain in your trespasses and sins. Don't hang around with dead things. Don't live among dead things, because you are alive and alive forevermore. Amen. So here, the Bible says that Peter and the rest of them had gone their ways, and they had to send word to the disciples that he wasn't here by the way of marriage. He was the first evangelist to tell the others that Jesus had risen. And for some of us who battle with the fact, can God minister through women? Oh, look, that be. Let that be pricked in your heart today. With God, there's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, bond or slave. We're all in this together. Amen. Well, God can use a Holy Ghost filled woman of God. He can use a Holy Ghost woman of God just like he can a Holy Ghost filled man of God. God just wants you to get up out of your mess and dream again. So Peter left. They all went back to their smelly way of life. Peter is fishing, and they had to send the word to him. And Jesus sent the word by the messenger, and he said, tell my disciples that I go before them. In Mark chapter 14, tell my disciples that I go before them and I'll meet them together. And tell Peter. Oh, did you hear that? Did you hear that? So some of you who have failed, who are living or not living, but dead in a valley of hopelessness, full of dry bones, you shall live and declare the works of the Lord. You don't have to stay in that grave. Jesus overcame the grave so you could overcome the grave. Joseph got out of the pit so we could say the pit ain't it. You didn't hear what I said. I said Joseph got out of the pit so you could shout, hallelujah, the pit ain't it. God didn't die to send the best for you to keep you in a pit of despair, of death and hopelessness and personal failure. Jesus made it all possible so we could get up from our graves today. And that's what he was telling Israel. You don't have to give up. You can get up. As Becky says, you can dream again. You can dream again. And I'm going to tell you something, Clay. If your dream don't scare you, it may not be from God. Because the dream God has for you is bigger than the dream that you could ever possibly dream. So you got that shofar horn ready? The prophet asked these questions. The Lord asked the prophet these questions. Can these bones live? Can our dreams live again? Can our hope live again? God's going to get ready, Ezekiel, to open up these graves. God's getting ready to open up graves. God sent this ministry and this on a mission to wake up people from the dead. And I'm going to tell you something that's going to curl some of your eyelids. It's all right. We can believe everything in the Bible, but there's some things that we can't believe. But you've got to believe the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation. You can't believe what you want to believe in it. You've got to believe the whole thing. How many knows that? You can't just believe what you like. Well, I like this part. I'm going to believe that part. I don't have to have the rest of it. You've got to eat the whole bread. So this is the powerful thing. I know that we people, God has sent us to raise the dead. And it happens all the time. And some of us said, I heard people say, boy, if I could see God raise somebody from the dead, man, I would believe, I'd follow him. Whoa, bless God, I'd go after him with everything in me. God does it every day, and your eyes are closed. He does it every day. He does it every day. Come here. You too, Wes. Here was a marriage dead, and the nail was going through the lid of the coffin. Let's take him to the cemetery and put him in the grave. But somebody began to believe and cry out to God that my dreams can live again. That the dead, I can get up. I don't have to die. I can live, Roy, and declare the works of the Lord. He's still going to be baptized today. Together. 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 Is it because you was hiding with your head down over there? You know how a teacher does in class. You remember those days, Thomas, when you'd hide and the teacher would say, oh, I know who I'm getting next. Hang with me just a minute. These dreams shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. People had him out for the count. He's dead. Let's close the coffin lid. He's not getting up. But somebody began to believe that there's power in the risen Christ to reach down into our valley of dry hopelessness and raise us up from the pits of despair and breathe upon us again. Amen. Oh, come on. Don't panicate. I'm ready to close. So don't panicate. Has God raised you from something? Has God brought you out of something? Has the Lord delivered you and brought you forth from something? So I prophesied as the Lord commanded me. Just hang in there. And breath came into them. And they lived and stood up to their feet. He prophesied. 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 The Lord's prophesied. He's prophesied. He's prophesied. He's prophesied. He's prophesied. He's prophesied. The word of God is going forth. He's raising dead people. Life is coming to dead bones. Sinews is coming to bones. Muscles are coming sinews. Flesh is coming on bones. People are raising up. And God is raising up an army of people who were counted dead. No pulse. Flatlined. Gone. And he's raising up right out of this crazy bunch of misfits an army of 10 little women. 10 little women. 10 little women, not 10 little Indian boys. 10 little Indians. 10 little women. He's raising up 10 little women who are full of the Holy Ghost. And he's sending them into a valley. He's sending them into a valley. Come on, if you're one of those women, get up to your feet. Get up to your feet. If you're one of those women, come up here right now. Right now, right now. But the world says you're dead. You're dead. You're buried under your addiction. You're hopeless. Your life is over. Your dreams are over. But God begins to say, you can live. So what he's doing, he's giving the word of the Lord to these women. And they're going into Duffield Regional to women like Vicky was, like some of you were. And they're taking a word of truth, a word of life, to her people who have lost their dreams. And they're prophesying over that valley. They're going to prophesy over those valley of dry bones. And what you're going to see is bones that were dry come to life. 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 Some of you all need to come to life. Oh, Jesus. Oh. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Our bones are dry, they said. Our hope is lost. And yet, we ourselves are cut off. Lord, I'm hopeless. And you may be here today and you say, my life is hopeless. My situation is hopeless. My family's hopeless. My failures are hopeless. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord. Everybody say, thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Behold, my people, I'll open your graves. I'm going to open your graves. I'm going to open your graves right before your eyes. I'm going to open your graves right before your eyes. I believe we've been called not only to raise the spiritual dead, but I'm going to say something that's going to make rock your boat crazy. I believe we're going to literally see dead get up. know some of you right now, it's hard for you to swallow that pill. Right now, it's hard for you to swallow that pill. I just don't believe that God does that anymore. You better believe it. Because God's going to use your faith. And you look up here and you say, none of these people are perfect. Wow, I'm glad you figured that out. And guess what? These people are looking back there and they're saying, none of them people are perfect. Prophesy to these. I'm going to open your graves and I'm going to bring you back into the land. Then you'll know that I'm the Lord. Then you'll know I'm the Lord because I've opened your graves and I brought you up from those graves. And I'm going to put my spirit in you and you're going to live. And I will place you in your own land, your own purpose, your own destiny. God's going to do that. Today, we're going to blow that shofar four times. The Bible said in the beginning of Ezekiel 37 that he, as he began to prophesy, the wind of God, the Ruach, which means Hebrew, the breath of God. God began, when he began to prophesy, the wind became from every direction, the north, south, east, and west. It's already literally been prophesied over this ministry that God is going to bring his sons and his daughters from the north, the south, the east, and the west. That's happening right now. Grant, that's happening right now. Are you getting this? This is happening right now. Every person in this room, you're either from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And they're coming, friend. They're coming. Do you believe that? You believe it enough to not worry about what you're going to eat in 5 minutes and get up to your feet right now? Do you believe it more than fried chicken? Do you believe it more than a hot dog with chili and coleslaw? Do you believe it more than fish and chips? Do you believe that? Amen. Whoever said that? Do you believe that? Then look, God's speaking to your heart by his spirit and by his power and raise you from that grave of hopelessness. Today, we're going to blow the shofar's horn four times and we're going to prophesy to the north, the south, the east, and the west. And we're going to tell this valley of bones, dry bones, live again. Live again. Live again. Roy, how are you not shouting this high, brother? Everybody in your family has been right here beside you. Months ago, you were worried. You were troubled. Pastor, if I could only get my family here. One of those family members is a part of that team going into the jail, my friend. When we blow that fourth trumpet, I want us to shout so the dead will hear. I want us to shout so the dead can hear. I want us to shout so all the dead in Norton and Wise and the area can hear that the breath of God has breathed and breathing upon his people, that those that are dead shall live again. And I want you today that have this hope alive in your heart, that have this hope alive in your heart. I want you to go from here, from the valley of dry bones, and I want you to go back. And I want you to touch as many people as you can. Because God is getting ready to open graves. And people are getting ready to come out of those graves. people are getting ready to come out of those graves. Grant, God didn't call you to play mumbo peg. He called you to declare the word of the living God. I didn't. The Lord did. So that means, yes, sir, Jesus. What can I do? No. No, Jesus. No, Jesus. Yes, sir, Jesus. What do I do? You shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. If you're hearing your ministry feel is dead, speak life. Live again. If you're here and your marriage is dead, speak life. Live again. If you're here today and your hope is dead, speak life and live again. Live, live, live. Wow. Are you ready? You don't want to miss this. Listen, this is more important than meeting an appointment somewhere. I promise you. Are you ready? Let's go. Shall not die but live. Yes. On that fourth, I want you to shout with all your might. Live. And if you're here today and you've lost your hope and you're in a valley of dry bones, I challenge you today on that fourth blast to come forward. Get your hope renewed. Get your life restored. Plug into Jesus again. The second one. Live. Breath of God, breathe upon these slain. Put flesh upon them again. Put hearts that beat again. Dreams, I dream again. Third. You shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Hear, hear, people of God, you shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. For I have destined it, I have purposed it. Live and declare my works, says the Lord. For I will bring you out of your graves. I'll breathe life into you. Live. This fourth.
Life, we're gonna live and not die, says God. You're gonna
you're here today and you need Jesus in your life, come right now. Come right now. You need hope. You need restoration. You need to live again. You need to dream again. Come right now.